The goal, explain the 1990s in exactly 60 songs. The result, we did it. I'm Rob Arvilla. I host 60 Songs That Explain the 90s, which has indeed covered 60 fantastic songs thus far, from Tupac to Radiohead to TLC. So let's do 30 more. Let's do 90 songs. No, we're not changing the name. More rad songs, more special guests, more astute critical analysis, more loopy nostalgic exuberance. That's 60 Songs That Explain the 90s every Wednesday, only on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Peter Rosenberg!
Shout out, Shaq Edwards.
The majesty.
Oh, my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
It's still rooted.
Delicious chicken.
It was Rapod. It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and recreation podcast, Cheap Heat, is back on a big, big Tuesday after the Royal Rumble. I am in New York City, your forever 24/7 champion. Also joining us from Philadelphia, the physically strong Stack Guy Greg.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's so impressed with Rhea going coast to coast on Saturday. We do that every week. We don't get credit.
It's a great point. We go coast to coast every week.
We're about to do it right now.
And then, of course, joining us from Los Angeles, the physically rushed Brian Dipperstein. Every week our show starts with this. We got to go. I have an out. Let's go. Out. I got to go. Start the show.
This must be what it's like since Vince has been back.
I'm gonna start the kickoff shows like that. The first word, Peter Bauer, I'm gonna go, you know what, guys? The pay-per-view starts in 55 minutes.
Here's the difference, though. They always start on time. They absolutely cannot start a second late because it's live broadcast.
This is true.
Live to tape. There's a big difference. It's not apples to apples. I don't even think I could comment on the Royal Rumble because my home was teeming with marks, and I was entertaining and unable to watch the show.
Yeah, you didn't even see the show.
Cody Rhodes this, Cody Rhodes that.
I got to tell you guys, unrelated to the Cody Rhodes of it all, I may give up on planning a wedding. I can't even take the first step without my parents overstepping. I can't take the first
step. That's the issue.
Even at 43 years old?
At 43 years old, I had a prospective date. I didn't even tell them the prospective date. I told a friend of theirs the prospective date.
Oh.
And I immediately get a text telling me that date won't work. It'll ruin your mother's life if it's that date. It can't happen.
Oh.
It really, I'm so irritated because I was like, this is a good date. This
What's
makes
the
sense.
Problem with that date? I want to know the issue with the date.
I honestly, I'm sort of embarrassed to say it. I can't even, but
say
you know
it.
What? I
she do this like for a living. I don't care. Commitment that she usually does.
No. It's
is
a Friday.
Is there a Mahjong game?
It's a Friday and we're Jewish and it's Friday night.
Oh, so the community, would not allow.
No, what, who? I don't know one. I don't have one friend or family member who observes Shabbos. Who am I doing this for? Like, it makes no sense. It doesn't make any difference. I don't go to synagogue. I don't not drive. I don't. It's a ridiculous thought. Like, all of a sudden, I'm religious now?
Yeah.
It's
you got to be religious for the ceremony. You got to, right? I think that's what she's thinking.
Not going to be religious for the ceremony. Natalie wouldn't know religious if it hit her in the face, and barely, and neither would I. Like it's.
Okay, no, that's pretty rude.
Sorry, neither of us would though. We don't. We don't care about it.
Are you surprised by any of this?
No, but it's so irritating.
I tell my mother the sky is blue. She's hemming and hawing. What shade of blue? Is it really blue? Look again.
My dad's direct quote, she will be miserable. Okay. Thank you.
So Fridays are just completely out.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, don't even get me started. Okay. You know what? Well,
You started.
Yeah. People wrestled this week and that someone won, someone lost. What are you going to do? We're going to WrestleMania. See you there.
It's 61 days now, right?
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
I'm already sick of the Cody thing. I'm already sick of it. They're shoving and shoving and shoving.
I got to tell you. So here's my biggest surprise about the weekend. How well people outside the building responded to the men's rumble. Like everyone is telling me it was amazing and brilliant and the reviews are, it was amazing. It was and as someone who was in the building, something amazing and brilliant happened on Saturday. It was at the end of the show with the Bloodline.
Right.
And it was one of literally the best things I've ever seen in wrestling. But the men's rumble was really fun for the first half. And then the second half, like there were no surprises. And I don't understand.
It was a standard issue.
Let's just all give me my credit. I have said from the very beginning, why are we running vignettes on Cody? I heard from many people, let's wait and see, because they may have another big surprise, and that's why they don't want Cody to be a surprise, because they don't want it to overshadow the other surprise. Welp, there was no other surprise. Yeah. It was Cody.
I'll even go a step further, too. I gave you your credit on Saturday. I'll give it to you here today too, because I was one of those people who said let's wait and see how they execute it. And then in the days, weeks leading up to it, then we find out that Cody's entering the Rumble, right? And they don't even call that for a surprise. And then as it progresses as your standard issue Rumble, we find out that there aren't going to be any bigger surprises. And the reality sort of sets in at around number 20 that Cody is number 30. And then when that happens, it is down to him and Gunther. Then you realize, okay, yeah, Cody's winning the damn thing. So it was predictable almost the whole way.
It didn't take him and Gunther for me to realize. You knew it the second he walked in. Let me just finish this thought. Everything about this was. Everything about it was telegraphed. That's my problem with it. It's not that he won. It's not that he was 30. It's not that they ran vignettes. It's that they did all of it.
Yeah,
they did every single thing possible to telegraph it. And now we're in a situation where we have an incredible other storyline going with Roman Reigns. How can you possibly get people to invest in the Cody story?
Yeah, I was going to say that too, because I said that in the group chat, that he didn't need the vignettes and the announcement and 30 and the win. Any combination of those four factors would have been fine, because then it left some surprise, right? Because I think at some point somebody was joking, oh yeah, the surprise is going to be when Cody's number is or whatever. until it gets late in the Rumble, you realize that he's number 30. Like, there's no surprise. And maybe that's why they put it on first, right? Let's just get it out the way.
Yeah.
And get the rest of the show moving. And let's end the show with something big, because Cody pointing at the sign is not going to be the big thing, because everybody saw it coming as soon as Cody came out on Monday. And I think it was in June or July, and said, I got to go. I got to have surgery.
Here's what I'll say about this Rumble. To me, I judge a Rumble on, are there enough people in the ring? Does it look aesthetically interesting? Are there, you know, interesting things going on in the ring? If there's not 7 or 8 people in the ring, to me, it's not even a Rumble. I like to see the ring fill up. And it did a couple of times in this Rumble, and I like that. I need to rewatch it to really sort of get the zhuzh of it. But I don't know. I don't necessarily need the returns. I thought that the amount of, I thought that the 30 entrants that they chose were all strong, you know, entrants. Same thing goes for the women's. And, you know, the returns are the returns, but this, like, what annoyed me about it is this big, like, Big Cody renaissance thing that now is happening. I like Cody. I don't have a Cody problem, but I mean, it's not true. I do now at this point, but like, I like Cody.
It's just the
I like
art. You have a problem with the art. You don't have a problem.
I like him as a A-list wrestler. I like him as a top guy, but I mean, oh God. I mean, that's why I texted the group chat very early this morning or late last night. I don't know what it was. And I said, Cody will be a heel in 3 months. Maybe it won't be 3 months, but it will be 6 months, I think. That's my prediction. Because the more you feed people nonsense and you make people try to swoon over this guy, people will eventually reject it and start booing. You could the crowd can only take so much corniness with Cody Rhodes. And one day, it's going to be like, enough is enough. Oh, God, like moan and groan. So for now, it's all fun and games. He'll probably take the title off of Roman Reigns. He's going to have his moment. It's the Cody era. The Cody, I could hear Corey Graves saying at the end of WrestleMania, welcome to the Cody era. The Cody era has begun. But there's going to come a time during that Cody era in the first machination of it where people are going to start booing the guy. And then it'll be 50-50, just like it was with Roman, just like it was with John Cena. Because you could tell already they're intending to shove this guy down the throats of every fan of wrestling.
Yeah, but my counterpoint is, though, that those things didn't make Roman or John Cena heel. The crowds booed, but I don't see Cody turning heel. I don't see a Cody heel turn.
In my opinion, the crowds booed initially with Roman and Cena because they weren't, and Roman has, of course, improved. But neither of them are that amazing on the mic. So I think it was that's I always go back to that default of why somebody, the crowd turns on them. It's usually because it's not believable what they're saying in the ring. But my point is, there's going to come a day where we don't buy what Cody is selling because of how emotional and corny and that dusty and the blah, 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 it's going to eventually get. And people are going to roll their eyes at some point.
I actually disagree with Dip's take yesterday in the group chat when he said it's like a countdown to the boos.
It's and, a countdown should, to the booze. Well said.
Countdown to the booze and heel turning is two different things, though.
Well, oh, yes. True. One leads to the other. Well, yeah, Dip's being hopeful that I guess you would, if you're going to go that way, you might as well turn.
I think he's a great heel, too.
Yeah, I actually think he is a natural heel. I know that his time as a babyface is limited. We saw it at AEW. He is limited in that way. They haven't seen this before.
He almost has a smirk on his.
Yeah, so he has a built-in smirk, but they don't remember Bautista.
Yeah, but by this point with Bautista's win, he had already been rejected by the fans. Like 24 hours later, he was already dead in the water. And the same thing with Roman. The next year with Roman, 20 minutes later, Roman was dead in the water. So they to the point where they added Daniel Bryan to the mix earlier and had Roman face Daniel Bryan at Fastlane. I think the fact that Cody came out and got a "you deserve it" chant. Granted, even yesterday, he didn't get a pop, the biggest pop when he pointed at the WrestleMania sign, but he did not yesterday, Saturday. He didn't get the biggest pop, but he didn't get booed at all. Batista and Roman got booed away.
That's true. I could argue which is worse, but people obviously liked it on TV, and that's also a credit to Cole, Graves, and McAfee. Everyone obviously felt it on TV. In the building, you felt the air coming out of the room as it headed towards the end. That's because it was just so obvious. And then they had Gunther and Cody work for so long, just the two of them. And like,
I thought that was awesome.
Don't get me wrong. It was good.
We disagree on that. I like that.
Yeah. No, listen, I like the fact that they had a bit of a match at the end, but the match was already like an hour and 15 minutes long.
It was too long.
So yes, you might have thought the wrestling that Gunther and Cody did was good, but in the room, you have a crowd that just watched an hour and change of wrestling. Then they get to the final two and have a 20-minute match that realistically, we all knew Gunther was not winning the Royal Rumble. So that was my issue with it. There was so much I loved about the Rumble. I loved the way they handled the Judgment Day. I thought the Edge Judgment Day stuff was really good. I thought Dominic was awesome. Had a sort of a coming of age moment where like he seemed like a big time on his own wrestling superstar. Thought the Logan Paul thing played out great. I loved Booker as a random, caught everyone off guard, surprise entrant. I thought it was generally really good. I just think the Cody thing, after so long, I was surprised they went with the most telegraphed version. That's all.
I'm not surprised at all, but I wish it weren't the case. But I could see myself starting to get an attitude about the Cody thing. I already have it. But now I'm like, ugh. Now when I see him, I'm like, here he comes.
That didn't take long. He got back 2 days ago.
I felt that way. I just see the fakakta smoke, and he comes out.
Here's what I want to say about this. Here's what I want to say about this. They already, when they brought him back at Mania last year, completely telegraphed it. There was nothing surprising about it. Everyone knew it was Cody coming back. The whole thing was fine, but it was so obvious, right? Then Cody's, pretty over with the crowd. It's going pretty well, but I'm like, this is going to get boring. And unfortunately and fortunately, he suffers this injury and they end up having this incredible moment at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Iconic for the ages moment. It erased the sort of obvious reveal at WrestleMania. It erased what had been an okay build, but nothing special, and gave us this, oh my God, a real superstar has now been born.
Yeah, and I
feel like they squandered that. I feel like they took this amazing opportunity where a star has been born and then just went into this really obvious mode, which to Dip's point, could result in him getting booed.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I really like Cody.
And he loves you, which makes me love him.
He's a lovely guy. I think all of these things can be true. I mean, but that's most everyone. It's most everyone you see on TV. But the question is, do you allow that to guide the way a story goes? And I think in this case, I think part of the beginning, the reason Cody got such a big push was to say middle finger to AEW. Then I think it worked so well after the Hell in a Cell match that now they're like, oh my God, we have a top babyface who could actually be as popular as Roman or bigger. But they didn't count on Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is the babyface. Sami Zayn beating Roman Reigns at WrestleMania would be so much bigger for the fans than Cody beating him at WrestleMania. It's not even close.
Oh, come on. That's not going to happen, unfortunately, but well, I agree. That
may be fine, but I am telling you, if you wanted the fans to get what they want, it would be Sami Zayn being the one to take out Roman Reigns.
Couldn't agree more. Never going to happen, and absolutely should.
Where does Jey Uso factor into all that, right? Because I feel
not to interrupt you, I think he only tangentially factors in.
See, I feel like it's almost the other way around. Not that Sami Zayn only tangentially factors in, but that throughout all of this, Jey has been, I feel like, a bigger part of this than he's gotten credit for throughout.
Well, that's true, but
he's
not
just part of the story. He's not the focus.
No, he's a huge part of the story. He's my favorite part of the story, but he's not the main event. Right now, you could get to him, but the money would be in Sami at this moment.
Oh,
like, that's where the whole thing, like, I think him and Sami together is where it's at.
Jimmy and Jey in some gimmick match where it's like a blood feud gimmick match, that's where the money is for the Usos.
Yeah, yeah, that's I think the way this plays out would be in a perfect world. Because Jey walked away the other day. It was my favorite part of the whole thing is that Jey walked away. So now I thought you have a couple of options. You could go to Elimination Chamber and go 6-man tag, Solo, Roman, Jimmy, Sami, KO, Jey, and have a 6-man tag at the Chamber. And then at Mania, you get Roman versus Sami and Jimmy versus Jey. That's what Jey wanted, right? That's what Jey's dreamed about.
I remember that we interviewed him October 2020. And he said a lot of things in that interview that I think have come to pass today with just about how deep they've been able to go with the storytelling to where I think he said in the interview, like, you forgot you were watching wrestling. And now, these years later, people are calling them to win Emmys and acting awards every beat of the story that they've given us. And he even said in that interview too that he wanted Jimmy at WrestleMania as like a dream match. Everybody go revisit that interview. It's on Rosenberg's YouTube page, Rosenberg Radio.
But it's a no brainer because right now the setup obviously is between Sami and Roman, and then Jimmy and Jey is such a brilliant. I'll just say this. I think the Jey Uso part of the Bloodline story is the most nuanced, awesome part of the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Him and Sammy's relationship. I did not think at the beginning when he hated him. I thought he'd come around. I didn't know he'd come around to the point that when his family turned on Sami, he'd be with Sami.
Yeah.
But it was pretty awesome. I mean, and for as much negative as what we said here about the men's rumble, what could have been better, the end of the show in my opinion, could not have been better.
No.
It was as good. I thought the hug at the end of the Hell in a Cell match, at the War Games match, was the pinnacle. And then this was even better. The chair shot being shot for shot the same way.
The Shield.
That the Shield broke up. Like, there's so much to it. Although I will say something that one legend said to me, Dip, that I'm sure you will agree with. I won't say which legend it was in case for some reason he wouldn't say it.
It was Andre.
But it was later that night and he said to me, I know it's a different time, but the end of that match, of that pay-per-view tonight, was one of those times when a little bit of color would have went a long way.
It was it's theatrics, though. He had the red leg. You know, you ever been to a play when, like, somebody gets shot and they pull out the red handkerchief? They threw the little flowers around.
By the way, that just made it worse. You just made it. I don't know if you meant to.
That was theater. This is how
you compared it to the red handkerchief.
This is how art we're doing now, P. They gave you the little color.
No.
This is Broadway.
I would have. Sami
should have
bled.
This is better than Broadway.
Sami should have bled, man. Really. So sorry. Sami can't bleed because it's a kid's show. You would really want kids to watch the beatdown that KO and Sami took?
KO. He got... That was brutal. Like, it was brutal before the beatdown started when Roman threw his head full speed into the ring steps twice.
Let me just say I loved it. I loved every bit of it. Never loved it more. I really loved it. Really enjoyed every bit of it.
You should have been decapitated. Let's be honest. But
it was, oh man, the whole thing was so well done. So we'll see what we get, man. I got to tell you though, even last night, I don't know how you guys felt. When I saw that the only thing they were doing with the Bloodline was a replay, I was like, ah.
Yeah.
Well, and they didn't do any Uncle Howdy stuff yesterday either. Yeah. My favorite storyline in wrestling.
Can we talk about the Pitch Black, the Mountain Dew Pitch Black?
Yeah, please. Let's talk about that.
This light is so annoying. I'm like, I can't even concentrate.
Can you turn the other direction?
I don't know.
No. Like, go around the other side of your desk with your chair and face the other way, and you'll have nothing.
Dips Halo.
All right, go ahead. What do you want to say about the Pitch Black Mountain Dew?
I can't believe how like straightforward it was almost. Like, even with the branding and the lighting. First of all, LA Knight, I mean, God love the guy, but he loses points for brains in that one. Because, like, why would you wear glow-in-the-dark gear in a Pitch Black match where presumably all the lights are going to be off?
Mm.
You know where you are. Why do you want your opponent to also know where you are at all times? That makes no sense. He loses a ton of strategy points. And then at the end, I mean, the camera work, they tried to block. The Uncle Howdy completely missed him. But we all saw it. Uncle Howdy completely missed LA Knight. Like,
or did you say who cares, Dip?
Yeah.
You don't care that they completely missed?
No, I don't care.
That makes no sense. You would care in another story. Yeah. You would absolutely care.
I would care in another story. In this story, I don't care.
This one, you don't care. They can just jump wherever they want. Just it doesn't matter.
They can just jump up and jump anywhere.
Just jump and go. I have not sat and watched the entire... I didn't watch it live. How did it feel when it... Like, on TV, did people react well to it?
Not really.
No. It was just like, okay. Because we saw what it was, and it was like, okay, this
could have been so awesome, but, you know.
Yeah, they didn't lean into the weirdness of it enough. But who knows?
It was a thing to sell Mountain Dew. Somebody brought, my buddy Ross Newman, he brought Mountain Dew Black.
And we drank it.
It's purple. It's purple.
But hold on. In one word, what do you feel about it, Dip?
Mage.
Okay.
Actually, it's Mapug. It's okay. Mage and Ripug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the press conference,
Cody took a sip of it because they had it. And then he immediately starts smiling. He goes, that's outstanding. Mind you, he took the tiniest sip I've ever seen. And I'm just like, all right, Cody, you don't got to sell me everything.
Are we talking about the press conference? I mean, do we even want to get into this?
You felt very strongly about the press conference.
What the hell is this press conference?
And by the way, SGG, he didn't know that it was like the fourth one.
Yeah, they've been doing it since what? I think
after every pay-per-view.
They have these guys and gals.
Slam, yeah.
They have them come out and just break kayfabe. We got these journalists standing up asking questions. We got, you know, the whole thing, the camera angles, the whole thing. Oh my God. Oh, it made me sick.
Some of those journalists ask some stupid ass questions, but
SGG, is there any validity to, like, do you have any part of you that agrees?
How could you not agree? You want to watch that?
I thought the press conference was Mage. I don't think.
Oh, come on. You want kayfabe to just be broken completely for an hour and a half? Rhea Ripley comes out and has a completely different attitude that she did an hour ago. She's a different person.
That's what we would get. That's what we would present to people if we did it right here on Cheap Heat.
I don't mind it at all.
I don't mind it at all. Because, I mean, it would be insulting to fans' intelligence for them to go out at a press conference where they're inviting, like, The wall is broken. The wall is, it's done.
Now
it
really is broken.
But SGG, you don't have to, here's what I would agree with Dip on. I didn't watch it.
Don't.
Do you have to break it the second the show ends? Like, on your own programming?
It feels like everybody was allowed to go their own way with it, right? So I like that part, that they had the freedom to, like, come out and... Because Cody was obviously working, right? As much as he tried to open up and you know, Cody was working. Bray felt like he was a little bit on the line of, like, I'm working, but I'm also... You know, we've interviewed Bray. Bray gave us Bray.
Greg.
And then Rhea was completely broken kayfabe.
You've been watching wrestling for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You love wrestling.
Wrestling is great.
Wrestling is great.
You want to see people out of character sit and be questioned by a bunch of wrestling nerds asking pathetic questions that we already all know the answers to,
right.
and have them their faces on television and have these awkward conversations that are just feeding into nothing for the purpose of what? What was the purpose of it? Who is it for?
My biggest problem was the pathetic questions. I don't mind that they do the press conferences, and I think it's Mage. I hope they do more of them. Honestly. Oh,
God. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
I do.
Okay.
I'm not with you on this, SG. I don't get it.
Let's break kayfabe the moment the show ends. This is not a basketball game where they come out and they talk about what they did on the court. This is fake wrestling. It's a story.
It's like a movie.
He said the F word.
He did say the F word. It's like a movie. It's like at the end of a movie, the credits run, and then as the credits are fading, the actors you just watched and these characters that affected you so much are like, hey, I'm Steve. You just saw me play Marlon an hour ago.
Yeah.
Now I want to talk to you about my life. I don't care what happened at a play. What play? Do they have a press conference immediately?
I mean, they don't have a press conference at the play, but like the character, they drop the character as soon as the play ends. Like they come out, they hold hands, they take a bow together, they clap for each other.
And they walk off. They don't say,
yeah,
they don't start.
But Greg, that's
well, they
not
have,
why
they have shit
Greg,
to do. Stop. They walk off because they have shit to
stop.
Do.
That's why we're not all obsessed with theater, okay?
Right.
We love wrestling because we are able to be kids again and break our, you know, we're allowed to suspend belief because that's what we love.
Yeah, I enjoyed the press conference. You can't convince me otherwise. I especially enjoyed this one. I really enjoyed the Clash at the Castle one.
I'm curious. I don't get it. I just don't really get the purpose, I guess. Except for maybe like more sponsor stuff. Like you get maybe to have all the Mountain Dew
if
stuff.
If the purpose is the Mountain to sell Dew stuff Mountain Dew and to have clips for the Mania packages, fine. That's fine. But to have these wrestlers come out, especially Bray Wyatt, okay, who's literally like playing a complete character that doesn't resemble anything of the man, okay? And then he comes out in a backwards cap and speaks in his regular speaking voice and talks about, you know, the story he's telling. That's the antithesis of what wrestling fans enjoy watching. We only want to see these people in character.
I think
you want to see The Undertaker? When you were six, did you want to see The Undertaker in the airport?
I think a lot of wrestling fans enjoy the curtain being peeled back more and more, clearly.
I'm not this wrestling fan. I want the curtain closed.
Also, can I just ask a question, though? If you wanted to get the sponsorship thing and do the package and to get clips for the package, why not just have the questions be sort of a work and they're asked by Michael Cole or Byron Saxton? Like, why do we need a room full of...
Yeah, that I don't know.
Like, no, the room's packed.
Yeah.
They have 70... And none of them are even dressed legitimately. Like, they're not, like, high-end... They're not real journalists.
WrestlingNewsWorld.com? I don't need... That guy should be separate from wrestling, from WWE. Okay, I'm sorry. The guy that runs WrestlingNewsSource.com or whatever the website should not be anywhere near Triple H, okay? Yeah. That's how wrestling is supposed to be. I'm sorry.
That I agree with you.
Okay.
There were a couple of people in that room who, after they asked the question, I'm just like, banned. I would never have them in the room for another press conference.
Well,
but
if we were to go through person, the room's so big. If we were to go person by person and find out who's in there, guys, I think the level of cringe would be
Bed Bath and Beyond.
I mean, there's some mage
in there, probably. I'm sure.
Who's
maybe
mage?
There was just maybe
if Peter
there was
Rosenberg
one,
in there. It was in there. It'd be mage.
There's one Sports Illustrated person or something. Maybe a New York Post or something. Maybe there's a couple, but there were 60 people in that room.
If they came out and did a press conference, if Triple H and Stephanie, who's no longer there, but whatever, if people in actual authority positions in the company came out and did a press conference about what the road to WrestleMania looks like, and you know, if they ask questions about the business of wrestling, then fine. But I don't need the people who come out in character, break character for an hour and a half, and just completely like just throw it out the window. Like, hey, what you saw an hour ago is fake. It's like, you know, a Gorilla Monsoon would be like rolling over in his grave if he saw.
Well, SGG, you know what I liked? I liked the one, I think in, was it the last one in Saudi?
That might've been a Clash.
Or was it Clash? Okay. Here's the difference. Here's a major difference. They had 10,000 people there. It was all a show. And they asked a few questions, mostly by like WWE people. And it was a press conference as part of the show. Like I'm down for that. I guess I just don't understand why we really need a quote press conference to have bloggers ask dumb questions to
also,
the superstars.
Also, they were definitely planned questions. What do you think? They're going to let Sean Ross Sapp or somebody come out there and just ask literally whatever they want? No. Hell no. They can't do that.
Yeah, it has to be pre-approved questions.
It's totally pre-approved. So, like, well, who's it? What's the point? What's the information we're getting? That The Rock's not wrestling at WrestleMania?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
I thought the Women's Rumble was great. I actually thought the end between Rhea and Liv was fantastic.
Yeah.
Loved the final elimination. But then again, we were stuck with sort of the same thing on Raw, which was like a very telegraphed, just walk out and be like, I want you, Charlotte.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was telegraphed, though. Like, I really didn't know who she would choose because she did have history with both of them. And I think that WWE had money no matter which way they went.
And well, match-wise, you're going to get something good either way.
She should have been out there with the Judgment Day. She should have been out there with the Judgment Day. It would have been a better aesthetic for
her
to like stand in front of the men and be like, this is my...
That's actually a good point. Why is she solo? Like, nothing about them has been solo.
Right.
So,
just some of these judgment calls, man, I got to be honest, like, no pun intended. Like, I don't know, man. People are enjoying the stable. Keep them together. Make them feel... Hogan most of the time never came out alone with the NWO was always behind him when he'd called someone out.
Yeah, I would have liked that too. But I just remember the years in the past, guys, where on the Monday, the actual segment where people choose is a little more, you're not sure. I mean,
yeah, they stretch it out for a while. But this time it's like Cody had no choice, number one. And then Rhea chose Charlotte.
Let's get creative, which is something I think we should be done here. Was there any way to create some sort of thought that Cody could have a choice? I'm trying to be creative here. Is there any?
Of course, there was. They just
title, or could he have called Roman out specifically for the Universal at least? Because like that's the one he wants. Like I don't want the World Heavyweight Championship. My dad had that. I want the Universal Championship.
Good
like
thinking.
Something yeah. specific to make this more than just Roman Reigns. I want you because.
But why would he do that though? Right? Like if he came for the prestige and the glory. One title off of Roman is not.
But he wants. But he wants the title that eluded his father.
Both of them eluded his father. One wasn't around. His father was there, and the WWE title his father never had.
Well, I thought the universe. Oh no, the Universal hasn't taken on the lineage of. So they're both. Yeah, I guess you're right. There is no WCW title there anymore in any way.
Yeah, it's at the seat at the Hall of Fame.
Yes, good point. But that's not my job. I'm just saying, come up with something maybe that's not just like so straightforward. Yes, Roman Reigns, I'll see you in 2 months. And now, what does it say about what Roman Reigns is going to go through over the next couple of months? Like, does that just mean we know now that it's going to end with Roman and Cody at WrestleMania?
Obviously,
we don't. And of course, we're still holding out hope that there could be a Rock thing. And by the way, man, I didn't mention this to you, Dip, or you actually. I can't take another swerve from Rocky's mom, man.
I know. She needs to stay in the back, post no pictures, enjoy the show.
But either way, she would have gotten me because I saw her in catering. I'm like, oh, man, Rocky's mom is here. what could it mean?
You know, and then I'm know what it means?
She's loves at the wrestling. Base. I mean, she loves wrestling. Wrestling is great. That's all it means because she's there all the time.
Yeah.
She loves wrestling. Rock, who doesn't? We love it.
By the way, she loves it. She loves it.
We're loving wrestling.
She's always there. And I wanted to go up and talk to her about Young Rock.
Fantastic. If I had a,
why didn't you?
Because I just didn't have a moment. She was talking to people. I only would have bothered her if she was literally kind of just sitting, hanging out by herself. And I would have said, like, hey, I just got to ask you, what do you think about Young Rock? You digging it? Like, how's the... I would have liked to have asked her that, but I didn't. Maybe at Mania. But listen, presumably there are other things that can happen. And this will not be such a straightforward road to WrestleMania. But in closing, I guess what I would say about the Rumble generally was overall enjoyed the show. Thought the women's match was great. Thought the men's match was good, with the exception of the ending being too formulaic. And I thought the Bloodline match was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I didn't see all of Bliss and Bianca. I heard that they just don't have great chemistry. Would you agree with that, SGG? Or am
I? It was a quick match too. It felt shorter than I would have expected, which is why I'm surprised that the pay-per-view went so long, even with, because, you know, two Rumbles, that's 2 hours right there. Then the men's match was, I'm sure, like 20 minutes, plus another 20 minutes of theatrics after that, so that's almost another hour. But then I feel like the other matches were so short that I can't believe, like, when you look at the clock, oh, that awful performance, I'm sure, extended the time. Unnecessarily. We don't even need to talk about Hardy.
Oh, why was it so bad?
It was just...
I heard he got booed.
Yeah, it was awful. The song, it's funny. He performed a song that we've been hearing in video packages. I think they still play it when they talk about the Rumble in the video packages after. And the song is fine. But him performing the song was one of the worst things I've ever seen. In music, in wrestling, definitely in musicians performing at wrestling shows. It was just awful.
Why was it so bad, though?
You didn't see it?
No.
You have to see it. It feels like the sound was off. His, like, the camera work was off. The song choice, which I guess it wasn't a bad song because I heard it yesterday and didn't mind it. But, like, it was just a horrendous performance.
Okay, I got to go back and watch this before
absolutely horrendous performance.
This is such a strong take. I need to see what made this so bad. This Hardy guy's big time. I think he's got a top 10 album in the country right now.
Happy for him. He has a bottom five performance at a wrestling show also.
But like, was his voice bad?
All of it, P. He looked like a biology teacher, first of all. So he didn't look or feel like a rock star. But I can get past that, you know what I mean?
Well, now you're just judgmental.
Aesthetics. That's aesthetics. I can get past that. Like I said, that's just aesthetics.
Okay. It was the first thing you said.
It was on the list. It wasn't the first thing I said, but it was on the list.
Okay. So, but overall, I'd say it was a pretty good Rumble night. I had a great time in San Antonio. Alamo Dome is a fantastic venue for the Rumble. Great wrestling crowd generally. Ran into a ton of lovely people, and it got me hyped for Mania. The interesting thing to watch is going to be how do they approach this WrestleMania with Sammy being so on fire and that story being so on fire. Like, you don't want to just kill it at Elimination Chamber just because. Like, that would be the biggest shame.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you kill the Sammy Roman story just because you want the Cody story to really hit. That's going to make it hit even less.
Yeah.
People will reject it. If you try to make this usurp the energy of the Sammy story, people are going to spit it back in your face. This is what they want. This is the story everyone wants.
So does Sammy find himself inserted into the main event? I mean, listen.
See now.
I guess I could be happy with
Triple threat.
Roman stacking Cody and Sammy and win it like he did with Daniel Bryan and Edge.
I think a triple threat could be interesting. It would at least be something more than this telegraphed. And like, I just don't want them to rush the end of this incredible Bloodline story. I mean,
yeah. Well, the story's not going to end, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, it has to end, but it feels like they've always had like a good set of twists and turns and like moving parts to keep this going. And it probably is going to just keep going for as long as they want it to. Because like they're onto something, man. They really are. They got something special.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is so cool. I'll challenge you guys, you know, to think about this. Tell me the last storyline that even approximated the range of emotions that we've gotten through the Bloodline Sammy story.
I can't. I don't think it exists.
I mean, I would say that, you know, mega powers exploding is like
the range of emotions, though.
It's not as nuanced, but it was in terms of how much I you could watch and care, you know, like with multiple pieces and a long arc. Like, it wasn't as detailed as this. It's a different time. But even if you say that, you're going back, what, 35 years?
Yeah, and I'll even put this ahead of that, too, with just, like, how deep they've been going.
And Brett Owen's pretty great.
Yeah.
Brett Sean had a lot of nuance and back and forth, but it wasn't an organized story. It sort of lost its way and would come back. This has been one sort of story. But, like, either way, we're getting into the 90s.
Yeah.
In terms of one specific story. You know, I saw
some people say Austin McMahon, and I mean.
But that wasn't one. That's the maybe the greatest rivalry of all time, but it wasn't one succinct story.
Right.
I would say that, you know, as amazing as John Cena's career was, he never had a story that approximated anything like this. It never happened. Now, again, some of these things are circumstantial, right? Like, how big a factor is Paul Heyman in the fact that this story is so brilliant? I'm sure a very big factor.
Yeah, you know? Mean, they have some geniuses with their hands right in the pot, right? Like, Sammy, Roman, Heyman. They got a great set of captains steering the ship.
It's something. It's. I was absolutely blown away by it. I a few weeks ago, I thought they were losing us. Felt like steam was a little bit of the starch was coming out for a couple of weeks. Even through the KO Cena thing, it was like, all right, this is getting kind of gimmicky. I don't know if this is really this Bloodline story anymore. And then boom, we're right back on track. And have me sitting here waiting for Friday to find out what happens next. Now with Jay and Sammy and Roman.
And listen, I would love if, similar to Outside Interference, WWE took this Sammy story and they strung together like all the major moments into like a long form cinematic type of deal.
Oh, you mean like Brian Mann does?
Yeah, yeah. Outside Interference and just
Interference. Sorry, yes, you were going by his brand name.
Just throw it up on Peacock, and then when the time comes, submit that for Emmy consideration. Just everybody, all the categories, get them some production categories, get them some acting, get Jay a little best supporting, get Heyman in there with some best supporting, Sammy and Roman for best actor, and just do it. Because you feel like, you know, if they try to pull a promo or a match, it's not going to hit the same. But if they string this story together and let people experience the story, it might hit.
This thing has been remarkable. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com is where you can send us a little bit of
mail.
But we've gone over for today, so we'll have to get to mailbag on Friday. By the way, shout out to Young John and Case, who are filled in on Friday, did a tremendous job.
Amazing correspondence. Amazing correspondence.
And then I saw them the next day at the Rumble. Great kids. That was a lot of fun. SUG, let's hit some Black Power rankings before we close out.
Oh, yeah. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black.
Who do you got?
Listen, it goes without saying, man. This one is going to Bobby Lashley, who had been I want to say tormented for a few weeks now by Brock Lesnar, but he got him back when it mattered the most for most superstars, which is in the Rumble, dashed away any hopes of Brock had of going back to WrestleMania, seeing Roman again, and did it with his own hands, and he did it swiftly. Now, Bobby himself is not going to WrestleMania, but I think knowing that he's the reason that Brock is not going is bringing him great joy on this Tuesday morning. So I'm giving it to Bobby Lashley.
I assume that we'll get Bobby and Brock at Mania, I would think, but maybe it'll be a chamber. We'll see. Who knows? I'll stay with the Hurt Business or the former Hurt Business and give it to MVP, who had a masterful VIP lounge yesterday. It was unfortunate to see the lounge get beaten up a little bit by Bobby. It was unfortunate, but still great to see the VIP lounge back. I think it's a thing that should be utilized more, and I want to see that Hurt Business back in action. I mean, I think if we get the real Bobby Brock story, that story gets so much more interesting if Bobby is surrounded by the Hurt Business.
I agree.
But Bobby is also sort of getting the biggest babyface pops of his career. So I don't know if that could affect them wanting to do it, or could it be done in a babyface way?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't turn him, turn them. You can't walk away from this.
Because like the crowd does, the Bobby's natural pop when he walks out there right now, feels the most over he's ever felt.
Yeah.
But either way, I just like Bobby at the Hurt Business. I'm a little biased, what can I say? But that's how I feel. Also, shout out to the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, and his son, Jacob, who I saw over the weekend. There've been a lot of times when it's been like a period of years before I've seen someone's kid. I've never had this sort of dramatic a change in the time since I last saw him. Never. Nothing comes close.
He's body slamming you.
Yo, the last time I saw Jacob, man, I have the picture. I put my arm around him. He was like a foot shorter than me, and it was at the Hall of Fame like 5-6 years ago. Then the other day he came up behind me and put me in a chokehold.
Oh my God. Did you think you were going to die?
Well, I figured out what was happening because I saw Mark Henry standing in front of me. But I was like, oh my God, this kid, Jacob, man, what an incredible young man. So smart, so talented, and such a sweet kid. So shout out to the Henry family. Everyone, we'll get to the emails on Friday, rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. There's a lot of email to get to. Hope everyone got their shirts in the mail right by now. I'm being told that they have. So if you have a problem, let me know. And stay mage.
Enjoy yourselves.
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Mage.